Praise the Lord. Everyone can hear okay? All right. So this song that we sang is very meaningful. It speaks about the matter of the priesthood, which George just spoke about. And it also speaks about that we are the army of Christ, our King. Right? And this morning, if you look at the title, it's Zion, which is God's heavenly army to take back the earth. You know, throughout the conference, as I was considering, I said, my, such a positive word regarding Zion, right? We see that this is the kingdom of God, the righteousness, filled with righteousness and peace, right? He's the great high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. He's the king of righteousness and the king of peace, right? And yesterday when the brothers were sharing about the description of Zion, this holy mountain, I mean, it's very wonderful, better than the national park of Zion. Some of you have recently seen it, right? How is it, Simon? Was it beautiful? Beautiful, right? Not beautiful enough, right? But when you take in that description of this holy mountain of God, my, very positive, very wonderful, right? And then this morning, it was very good to see for God to have this holy place. He needs all of us to grow and to be qualified to become kings and priests. And it's very good. I'm glad that we can see God was merciful to show us the matter of the priesthood. You know, because to be the inhabitants, to be the kings with Christ in the coming millennial kingdom age, it's the constitution of the people that would qualify them to be kings. Right? Just think about the offerings. George gave you the names of the offerings. Well, I'll tell you the result of each of the offerings. The burnt offering brings us to be obedient to Christ our King, to be one with the Father's plan. We need this because today we are rebellious, as we saw last night. There's this rebellious nature in our heart. And even with our desire to serve the Lord, we still serve in our natural man, which is why we need Christ's perfect humanity through the meal offering. And we need to be reconciled with God and man so that there will be peace. This is the peace offering. But because we have to deal with this flesh, we need the sin offering to overcome our fleshly nature, and the trespass offering if we do commit a sin. God has given us a marvelous, wonderful way to bring us to the kingship that the Lord desires for us to have. Right? So everything is so positive. But we need to also tell you, if you're not aware, today we are all at war. Let me repeat that again. Do you realize that you are at war? Some of you might be saying, how can you say we're at war? We have a nice family, our house is nice, got a good job. I don't see, you know, artillery firing into our neighborhood, right? No major problems in the churches. Have you thought about that we are really at war? Right? I know nobody likes to talk about war. Growing up, I grew up during the Cold War, so I was really following this as a child. I was really into what are the strategies and what are the tactics and the weapons and how do we win? How do we make sure we win the Cold War? Right? And people always ask me, why are you thinking about this? Why do you talk about this? Actually, I'm not sure why I was always interested in this way. And the one thing I always hear from people is, you know, when we have sporting events, you see the military jets fly across in formation. And you say, why are the Americans so proud of their military? I don't know if you ever thought about that. Is it because America is a warmonger? No. Growing up, why was the military so important? Because there's this phrase, peace through strength. In order to have peace, you need to have strength. And in our case today, we need to realize that for God to achieve this wonderful plan and goal to bring down his kingdom to this earth, there is the war of all wars that is happening before our eyes. Don't think the church life is just eating and drinking. There's a battle going on. If you go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, it says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven enjoys peace and quiet. BJ, what does your version say?
It says, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence.
Exactly. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. So Jesus is already warning us that to achieve the kingdom of heaven, there is a battle that is going on, brothers and sisters. And even more, when Peter saw concerning the church, Matthew 16, 18, what does Jesus tell Peter? Matthew 16, 18, it says, I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and then what? Shall not. Exactly. The gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Against her, against the church. So I hope, brothers and sisters, you should realize and see that there is a battle going on. A battle for Zion to be built up. And it is definitely a battle to take back this earth. Right, as George had us read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, especially verse 28, we always focus on, you know, created in the image and likeness of God. We focus on having dominion over the fish and the animals and etc., etc. But the key word was dominion. Why such a strong word? Dominion. Right? To take back the earth. God's plan is that man would take back the earth. So that means there is a war on our hands. I have to pop this bubble that we all live in. We really live in a bubble because day in and day out, you don't see the warfare going on, do we? And how many of us have ever served in a war? I only know of one vet who served in the war, our brother Charles. If you talk to our brother Charles, you can get a sense of what it takes to be an airman in the U.S. Air Force. It's not so easy to comprehend this because we all have been protected by the military served by our brother and many other military veterans. We have no idea what this war is about. We also have another brother who, how many of us had to serve boot camp? Mandatory military service as a young person. So a couple of you, right? Jaywon, Chan, right? So you have an idea what it takes to fight in an army. But none of us, how many of us have ever had that concept? Even an idea of what this is. I think for most of us, maybe the most we can think about is competition. Some of us may be in sports, right? BJ, when you're on a baseball team, what is the goal?
To score more runs than the other team.
Not just to score more runs than the other team, it's to win.
Right.
Exactly. Then say it, winning. The goal in sports is to win, right? And not just to win at the city level, but the regional level, and ultimately at the world level. You want to be the best in the world. At least every sports team I'm aware of, that's their goal. They want to be the best. That may be the most we can ever experience regarding warfare. But do we have this concept? Right? Today, many parents water down competition. It's not important to be first place. When I grew up, it's first place or nothing. And you're all saying, wow, that's too much. But in warfare, there is no second place. Right? And this is what we're faced with, brothers and sisters. I don't know how else to instill this into your mind that we are really at war. And when George was referring to Nehemiah, when they were rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, do you think they were given a peaceful environment to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem? What do you think? No. There was adversary. Right? And when you read Nehemiah chapter 4, from 15 and on, I won't read it right now, but I'll summarize it for you. In one hand, they had the construction equipment to build the wall. And in the other hand, they had the sword to do battle. They had shifts. Some were building the wall, others were standing guard, ready to repel any attacks on the city. Do we have this mindset, brothers and sisters? And when you read through the whole Bible, what do you see? Peace, harmony, enjoyment, relaxation? No. It's event after event, war upon war upon war upon war. And this is for the battle for God's kingdom. Brothers and sisters, wake up. We need to wake up to see that we are at war. Okay? So, what state do we live in? Are we living in this state of battle readiness? Ready to fight against the enemy? Hey, Charles, in war, does everybody take a break from war? When you were serving in the war, was there ever a vacation when you were serving in war? Especially in the heat of battle, did you like, time out, I need a break? Okay.
I did go to Bosnia. Yeah. And there were some, of course, they had to take a shower and so on. But make sure that someone relieved you.
Right.
Standing there ready, guarding.
You see, even when you have to take a shower, someone's there ready to defend, right? This is the intensity of war, brothers and sisters. Just really consider this. And now realize that today we are in this same battle, spiritually speaking. We are not fighting against flesh and blood, but we are battling against what? Principalities and powers, the prince of the air, the forces of darkness. These are forces that we can't even see with our own eyes, but they are there operating 24/7. And so we need to realize to take back the earth, because this is God's plan. He wants us, man, to take back the earth, to bring down the Father's kingdom to this earth. And Satan definitely will not allow that to happen. Right? So if you're going into battle, what do you need? Who do you need? You need the captain of our salvation. You want the best general in place. You want the best commander-in-chief, right? J1, if you have a weak captain, is it hard to win a battle if you had a weak captain in the leadership? Very hard, right? But praise the Lord. Jesus Christ himself, when you consider all what was shared about the Lord as our King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the great high priest, he is more than qualified to be the best captain to follow into battle, right? He has overcome the enemy. Not only does he know the strategy of the enemy, he also knows how to take down the enemy. And if we are to go to war together with the Lord, then we need to keep our eyes, not just the author and perfecter of our faith, but to keep our eyes on the captain of our salvation. He is the one who is qualified. And he knows Satan's strategy. Do we recognize the enemy? Right? In war, you have to know who the enemy is. Otherwise, you might have friendly fire and kill your own. And that happens quite often in war that we don't realize. Friendly fire. So we have to recognize who our real enemy is. And Ephesians chapter 6 tells us very clearly who our enemy is. It is not flesh and blood. It is definitely not flesh and blood in that way. Right? Our enemy, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And who is the leader behind all of this principality and power? It's Satan himself. Right? So we need to know Satan is the one that we are doing battle with, together with the Lord. And today, we should recognize his strategy. Satan is what? He is the father of lies, the murderer. These two words, lies and murderers. And if you look at today's wars that are happening before our eyes, the murderer, this is the kinetic war with bombs and missiles. You see that in Ukraine and Russia, the Middle East. You see all these kinds of battles going on. But I don't know if you realize there's an even more subtle war going on in the areas of the world that doesn't have bombs and missiles. It's called the information war. The lies and the deceptions that are going on. Even in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it already said very clearly, one of the works of the mystery of lawlessness is deception. It's lies. And this is permeating our society today with social media, with mainstream media. You may not realize your children, they're being attacked through education. There's so many things that this father of lies is imparting into all of us, and we don't even realize it. And this is what is causing, especially in this country, division. Right? And it was shared earlier. Can a kingdom divided stand? No. A kingdom divided will certainly fail. It will fall. And at the rate we're going in this country may not stand that much longer because such deep division in this country. Right? You look at our politicians, the Republicans, the conservatives are fighting amongst themselves, and their real enemy is the liberals, the demonic rats. But they're fighting against each other. Where's the eye on the enemy? Today, amongst the Christians, who are the Christians fighting today? They're fighting themselves. Where's the enemy? Who's the enemy? Right? But if I really consider us today, what about in our families? In my marriage life, is there arguments between myself and my wife? disagreements. It starts out with disagreements, different ways of doing things. Satan's strategies to capitalize, to leverage that, to use it, to drive a wedge between you and your spouse. And if there's no oneness in the marriage, what's going to happen? Can you stand firm against the enemy, Timo? Not really. It should be absolutely not. When Sharon and I have an argument and we don't, and it's not addressed, it's impossible for us to serve together for Zion. And it's even more difficult to fight against the enemy. Right? Parents and children. What's our attitude in that relationship? Right? Earlier we talked about children, honor your parents. Right? Now, if there's a problem in the family between parents and children and between the brothers and sisters, Sarah, can we stand as one against the enemy? Right. And that's from experience. She knows this. So, brothers and sisters, let's not lose sight of the enemy and his strategy. He's using everything. The enemy will always use the weakness of the opponent. And so, recognize this, brothers and sisters. Who the enemy is. Who is the real enemy? And then also recognize the weakness that he's attacking. Right? This is what we have to see. And then, not only do we have the captain of our salvation who already tells us who our enemy is, right? And he knows how to defeat the enemy, then we need to follow him, right? And this is why I very much appreciate it. If you consider these last meetings, there was one word that stood out to me this whole time. And it's this word, obedience. Obedience to Jesus, our King. And J1 mentioned last night, he said, if the number one thing in serving in the army is you have to be what? Obedient to the commander, your commanding officer. You need to be obedient. And if you're not, then will your unit win? No. Right? And so this becomes very important, is absolute obedience. And it was brought up when Saul was king. How did he lose his kingship? Partial obedience. And partial obedience equals disobedience, disobedience, which is the nice word of rebellion. Exactly. Right? Rebellion. And I mean, as it was pointed out, this is partial obedience. He did point 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He did that according to what the Lord said. But then 5 and 6, he took matters in his own way. He thought it was a better idea to do something different. Still a good thing in his eyes, but it was different. And the result was rebellion. You can read this in 1 Samuel chapter 15. I'm not going to read it right now for you, but take some time. Read it. It was like he did 80% of what he was commanded by the Lord to do, but yet that final 20% he didn't. And for that reason, he was disqualified to becoming of remaining king. Right? So obedience to our commander-in-chief is so important. Right? All of the qualities, the intrinsic qualities of the sons of the kingdom, obedience is so important. And when I look at my daily life, am I being willing to be trained to be obedient? Why? Because it's going to matter when we go to war. That's why you have boot camp, right? How many weeks is boot camp? 5 weeks. And Charles, how many weeks was your boot camp? Okay. 6 weeks. 5 or 6 weeks to learn obedience. Was that easy? No. because we all want to do our own thing. But the Lord is coming soon. And there is a battle at hand right now. And for us to qualify to become kings and priests, then we have to learn obedience to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Right? This is, he is the one who will know how to win the battle. Right? Not only do we have such a wonderful, great king, our great commander-in-chief, the Lord as the captain of our salvation, but he's not going to do it by himself. He needs his holy army, right? This is why when you read in Psalm 110, Psalm 110 says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand to what? Till I make your enemies your footstool. Right? So this is a warfare. And the Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion to rule in the midst of your enemies. But he's not going to do it by himself, because verse 3 says, your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth. Right? So today, brothers and sisters, do you realize, do you live in this consciousness that you're also a volunteer in God's great heavenly army? Second Timothy already tells us to be the good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Have you been drafted? Psalms here says volunteers, but today, in the middle of a heated war, are we drafted? Have we been drafted by the Lord into his heavenly army? He doesn't want to do this by himself. He wants his people to rise up together as the soldiers of Christ, to fight together with him against the enemy. Right? And he is going to make sure that his army has the best weapons. Right? To win a war, you need what? You need the good weapons. You need the best weapons. Everyone's looking for the best tactical advantage. Right? Growing up, I can tell you all the speeds and details of every weapon in the U.S. Air Force, because my dad was an aerospace engineer, so I followed all that. But oftentimes, I'm asked, how well do I know the weapons that God has given to us? Right? I don't know if you realize, in Matthew 16, verse 19, he says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I'm always having to be reminded that we have the keys of the kingdom of heaven to bind on earth what will be bound in heaven. Do you realize you have the keys? The authority God has given to us as his representation on this earth, the kingdom of heaven, right? And then also in Ephesians chapter 6, when you read through Ephesians chapter 6, you can see all of the wonderful whole armor of God is given to us. Do we know our weapons in such a way? The armor of God. Not just for defensive weapons, but offensive, to attack, right? Do we know how to use it? Right? It's one thing to learn it, right? J1, when you were learning to fight in a tank, did they put you in a tank? Yeah? Did you fire live fire? Yeah. You actually handled it, and you used it, and you saw it destroy targets, right? Very good. I spoke to another brother who also had to serve in the military. And they were only given a video and PowerPoint slides and how to handle their weapons. Now, if you look at J1 and you look at this other brother who described this to me, who's more prepared to fight? Yeah, I ain't going to be with J1 because he already knows how to fire the tank, right? He knows how to do what he needs to do to fight. I wouldn't want to be with someone who just has the knowledge. So what about us today when it concerns spiritual warfare? There's training involved. You don't learn to fire a tank by reading a manual and then trying it. No, you go through a lot of training to do it, right? Today, are we trained? Are we training to fight the spiritual battle with the Lord today? Right? Did you train with live fire where they were shooting at you as you're shooting at them?
No, it wasn't like
live. Okay, not quite live. But in our U.S. military, they do live fire training, where they fire at you as well, like the real thing, but over your heads, to give you an idea what it sounds like. Right? How many of you were walking around outside on the 4th of July? Did you hear all that explosions in the sky? No? Most of you didn't hear it. The whole meeting you heard it, right? Growing up, whenever I heard that, my mom told me, you know, that's what I listened to every night during World War II as a young child. And you never knew when that shell will explode in your village or not. Right? Without this live fire training, it's hard to fire your weapons effectively. But today, we are in the midst of a real war, brothers and sisters. Are we prepared to fight, to take back the earth in this kind of a way? I'm not saying that we have to now go out there and, you know, learn how to shoot a gun and all this stuff. No, no, no. But better not, right? But we need to know and we need to experience the Lord, to follow the Lord into battle and to fight this spiritual battle all the time with Him. And if we're not battling together with the Lord, to still have the mindset that we are going through this war right now. Right, and the best weapon that I always really enjoy, and it's been very energizing to pray in this way, is this one weapon that was described here. It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Right? If I were just to have verse 18 without the context of warfare, then I'll pray as I remember. But if we are aware of the warfare that is going on, then for sure there will always be someone on guard watching. Praying for all the saints. But not just to pray with our own words, but to pray with the Word of God. To learn to use that. Paul told Timothy, right, regarding the Word, to rightly divide the Word of the truth. To pray with his Word is the most effective way to pray against his enemy. And when we pray in this way, the Lord strengthens me from within. Because you're eating the Word, there's strength, but there's power in the Word because we are slaying the enemy. I still remember when we started this daily prayer amongst the brothers. And it would always be suggested these verses in the minor prophets like Nahum or Habakkuk or, you know, all Zephaniah. Have you ever tried to pray through these verses? The first time I prayed through those verses, I was just like, Lord, this is really hard. This is all negative. But then I had to be reminded, all scripture is positive and negative in our minds, positive and negative. The point is not positive or negative. This is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. And it was hard at the beginning, but when you get past that concept, oh, this is negative, and you start to get into the Spirit of the Lord in the Word, it becomes full of life and full of strength to slay the enemy. Nothing's better than praying with the Word of God in such a way. To train in this way. To know how to use the Word to pray in such a way to defeat the enemy. To put the enemy under our feet. The footstools. Right? And so this is what the Lord has given to us. He's given us the best equipment. Now the question is, are we prepared to go and to follow Him? To follow the captain of our salvation, to take back the earth, right? And what's even more impressive is God is victor. We already know what the ending of the battle plan is. The beast, the false prophets, they'll be cast into the lake of fire. Satan will be cast into the lake of fire. And even Hades and death will be cast into the lake of fire. So we already know the outcome of the Lord's battle plan. The question is, will we rise up as the soldiers of Christ to be one with our commander, the captain of our salvation, to pray and to fight together with Him to bring in God's kingdom to this earth? Right? So may the Lord wake us up to really see we are at war. But then, not to be discouraged, not to be disappointed, but to be one with Him, to labor with Him, to pray with Him. Because in the end, it's actually the Lord who does the victory. Even in Revelation, in the Battle of Armageddon, it says, out of His mouth comes the word to defeat the enemy. This is how the Lord defeated Satan when He was on the earth. When He was being tempted, it was by the word that He destroyed the enemy. And so for us today, in this same way, by His word. So praise the Lord for God's heavenly armies. We're all drafted, right? We're all part of this. We are all soldiers of Christ. And may we be one with our captain of our salvation to follow Him into battle to take back this earth. Amen. Amen.